Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's program of the Commonwealth Club Silicon Valley. I'm Gloria Duffy, CEO of the Commonwealth Club, and your chair for today. And we have a wonderful gathering here today of the business community and Commonwealth Club members to welcome the President of Chile. We also have our esteemed Mayor of San Jose, the Honorable Ron Gonzalez, and I'd like to ask him to come up to give a welcome.
Thank you very much, Gloria. It is, and thank you to the Commonwealth Club for just another wonderful occasion here in San Jose, the capital of Silicon Valley. It is an honor as mayor to welcome President Lagos to San Jose. We are proud to call this the center of the universe, the capital of Silicon Valley, and it's a very special day in San Jose. We are welcoming the President of Chile, but we are also welcoming a true partner in the high-tech world. This trip has been geared toward introducing Chile to the high-tech community, and you are in the right place. San Jose is the center of innovation and the home of the high-tech industry and ground zero for the region that accounts for over one-third of all venture capital investments in our country. Most important, however, is that San Jose's high-tech industry is always looking to expand and form new relationships. And Chile is proving to be the ideal place for those partnerships and expansion. With the highest per capita computer use in Latin America and considerable investments in the information technology business, Chile is ready for Silicon Valley investment. By expanding the high-tech industry in Chile, we all benefit. Chile will be a vital partner in the new economy, and Silicon Valley will have increased opportunities in one of the world's most exciting and emerging marketplaces, Latin America. This trip will lead to strong ties between Silicon Valley, San Jose, and Chile. And I look forward to this relationship continuing well into the future. President Lagos, on behalf of the people of San Jose, and Silicon Valley, welcome. And I have a very small token of appreciation from the people of San Jose to present to you on their behalf.
Thank you very much, Mayor Gonzalez. We'd like to extend a special welcome to any new members of the Commonwealth Club joining us this afternoon. We hope you enjoy your membership and look forward to seeing you at future events. And I always say this at all Commonwealth Club events, if you're not a member, please do consider joining. That's how we're able to bring you special events like this. If you become a member of the Commonwealth Club, and then, of course, you find out what wonderful events are in store. So please take a moment to pick up membership information if you're not a member. Each month, Commonwealth Club members have a wide range of programs to choose from throughout the Bay Area. There are many coming up here in Silicon Valley. A discussion on Monday, December 11th, on political turbulence in Taiwan. An economic trends forecast for the year 2000 on January 4th. And many other programs. Information and reservations for all Commonwealth Club programs can be made by calling the club's 24-hour hotline or visiting our website. Following President Lagos' speech today, we will have time for your questions. We encourage you to write them on the question cards that you find on your table. They're in the center of the table, and they'll be collected by volunteers during the program. Today's program is being recorded for use over the club's nationwide radio network. You may hear these broadcasts locally on KQED FM 88.5 at 8 p.m. on Fridays or on KOIT AM and FM 1260 and 96.5 or KDFC FM 91.7 at 6 a.m. on Sunday if you happen to be up at that time. So for this reason, we ask you to please turn off pagers and cell phones because these devices can disrupt the radio broadcast. At this time, I'll pause for just a moment as we begin taping this afternoon's event. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club Silicon Valley, brought to you from the Hyatt St. Clair in San Jose, California. I'm Gloria Duffy, CEO of the club and your chair for this afternoon. We would like to welcome the listeners of KSTX 89.1 in San Antonio, Texas, one of more than 225 stations nationwide, joining us for America's longest-running radio program. At this time, the Commonwealth Club extends a special thanks to the American Electronics Association, the California Pan-American Society, the International Business Incubator, the San Jose Silicon Valley Chamber of Commerce, and the Thunderbird American Graduate School of International Management for co-sponsoring today's event. We'd also like to thank the Thunderbird Graduate School for underwriting today's radio broadcast. Now it is my pleasure to introduce Zane Gresham, president of the Pan-American Society of California, who will introduce today's speaker. Mr. Gresham also serves as senior partner in the international law firm of Morrison & Foerster and director of the firm's Latin American practice.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasant duty to introduce our guest of honor, His Excellency, the President of Chile, Ricardo Lagos. President Lagos was elected last January in a robust and closely contested election, but with no necessity for manual recounts. His election marked yet another signal achievement for Chile, more firmly establishing it as having perhaps the most stable and reliable governmental and political system in South America. As a president inaugurated at the beginning of the new millennium, during a recession that has affected the entire Latin American region, he faces dual challenges: further modernizing Chile's governmental structures and engendering the prosperity of which Chile, with its strong human and natural resources, clearly is capable. Probably President Lagos did not imagine, when he was a schoolboy at the Instituto Nacional in Santiago, nor later as a law student at the Universidad de Chile School of Law, nor even as a graduate student pursuing a doctorate in economics at Duke University, or even during long years of exile as a distinguished visiting professor at the University of North Carolina, that a technological and economic wave emerging out of Northern California would affect all of our lives throughout the world so profoundly. President Lagos clearly has grasped how critical are the new technologies and the employment, the social development, and the economic vitality they can produce. Indeed, since his inauguration, President Lagos has emphasized his goal for Chile to become a leading actor in new technologies in Latin America. Consistent with the Chilean proverb, "Camarón que se duerme, se lo lleva la corriente," President Lagos has not slept, and he has not delayed in implementing the policies necessary to further these goals. Already, his administration has secured passage of essential legislation covering electronic signatures and the indirect offering of securities over the Internet, among others. As a strong and even clearer sign of his commitment, he is personally leading this mission to Silicon Valley. Those who travel in Chile and California remark on the similarities, on the glorious coastlines overlooking the mighty Pacific Ocean, the powerful mountains, and the splendid wines and seafood. With this mission to Silicon Valley, President Lagos has announced emphatically his goal to add another and most important item to this list of happy similarities: leadership in new technologies. I am certain we all join in the sincere wish that this visit will be the starting point of a long and prosperous relationship between Chile and Silicon Valley. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest of honor, President Ricardo Lagos.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Gresham, for your presentation. And thank you very much, Gloria and Mayor Gonzalez, for what you have said today. As you know, I'm here as President of Chile in one of the main hills of the new economy. And I'm here with quite a number of government officials, business people, and academia to talk to you about the country's agenda in the area of technology and what are our plans in this regard. And it's an agenda that seeks to bring the benefits of development to all of our people as we approach in the year 2010 to 200 years from our independence. And we believe that internet and other information technologies will play a crucial role in this affair. And this is the reason why we are here. But at the same time, I would like to profit of this occasion to share with you an important news regarding the relationship between Chile and the United States. And I would like to be very precise, and in order to do that, let me say a few words in Spanish. Con particular atención, satisfacción, yo quiero informarles que he sostenido cordiales conversaciones con el presidente Bill Clinton, en las que hemos acordado que Chile y los Estados Unidos de América inicien de inmediato la negociación de un acuerdo bilateral de libre comercio. Los equipos negociadores de ambos países están preparados para comenzar su tarea y se les instruirá que la concluyan en el menor plazo posible. Este acuerdo, a nuestro juicio, refuerza el compromiso tanto de Chile como de los Estados Unidos con la liberalización de los intercambios y con la integración hemisférica. Esto es posible, en primer lugar, como resultado de un largo trabajo que se ha venido realizando por los equipos de Chile y Estados Unidos en el ámbito de comercio e inversiones. En segundo lugar, quisiera señalar que esto va a permitir seguramente aumentar el flujo de inversiones de Estados Unidos hacia Chile y de aumentar el flujo del comercio. Eso significa la generación de más puestos de trabajo, de más empleo y mejores oportunidades. Y en tercer lugar significa, por qué no decirlo también, la posibilidad de poder tener un intercambio mayor, no solo en el ámbito económico, sino también cultural y de valores compartidos con los Estados Unidos de América. Now let me explain very briefly what I have just said for those that don't follow what I say in Spanish. What we did today is to inform that together with President Bill Clinton, we have decided to initiate negotiations in order to have a free trade agreement between Chile and the United States. And I think that if we do the right things in a short period of time, we can have a successful conclusion of this agreement. And to some extent, to inform of this, here in California, here in San Jose, it's a good occasion to think about why it is possible that what here in the capital of technology and high tech is being produced at the same time in this particular area. It is because these new technologies represent a significant advance in the area of geographical isolation from the point of view of Chile with the main centers, or from the point of view of how are we going to be able to profit and benefit from the tremendous advances that the high technology economy is taking in the United States. In Chile, we are working very hard in order to achieve three major goals. The first one, to maintain the economic growth rates that have allowed our country to double the per capita income during the last decade. Second, how are we going to be able to integrate to all Chileans to the benefits of the modern world? How are we going to be able to have a kind of development where that development will take into consideration every single Chilean, and none of them are going to be left behind of the benefits of progress. And third, how are we going to be able to spread the access of science to science, knowledge, culture among our people? It's our impression that the three goals are in a situation to be tackled in a much better way through information technologies, because they are going to contribute to the achievement of these goals. They are information technologies, an excellent vehicle which will allow us to reach the type of development that we are thinking. And this is the reason why we are here, because it's our impression that if we want to achieve our first goal, which is to maintain the rate of economic growth of the last 15 years, it's going to be essential that Chile is able to produce some concrete steps in order to go toward the new economy. It's true, during the last 15 years, we have been able to have a rate of growth something around 7% per year. And in this process, our companies have successfully become part of demanding commercial and financial networks. Probably in several occasions, you have eaten Chilean fruit, salmon, or probably you have enjoyed some of our wines. The expansion of these industries to the global market has required a big deal of risk-taking and innovative tasks. To some extent, it is in these companies where some of the areas of the new economy are already present. This is a challenging scenario for our business community, and we know that they are going to be the major efforts in order to be able to profit. It's my impression that if we want to keep our rate of growth, it's going to be essential for us to be able to participate in this area of technology of information. What was behind our rate of growth during the last 15 years will need to be introduced with new efforts, and this is the reason why we are here with a delegation of more than 150 business people from Chile, which is to some extent a very good example of the consensus that this agenda arises in Chile. During the last years, we have witnessed a burst of e-business in Chile. Many of these are part of traditional enterprise that understand that here is where a new agenda and a new era is emerging. Needless to say, banks, big retailers, large mining companies, for instance, are already introducing many of these things. The back office, in the case of the banking and financial communities, is going to be very soon a reality in Chile. The major banks are planning to establish, some of them, back offices in Santiago or in other cities of Chile in order to provide financial services from Chile to the rest of Latin America. And the adoption of the Internet as a competitive tool is a concrete reality in Chile and is constantly being reinforced through the dramatic increase of Internet use by private companies, government, and the population in general. In other words, to maintain Chile's economic growth require that Chile is going to be able to go in the area of the new economy with better strength of what up to now have been able to do. The second point and the second goal is how are we going to be able to integrate all Chileans to the modern world's benefits? How are we going to be able to guarantee that everybody is going to be in a position to reach the profits of development? And we are determined to speed up the movement towards an integration information society so that new tools become as universal as television and radio is today. In Santiago today, about 11% of the population uses Internet, far ahead from some other Latin American capitals. One of our major challenges is how are we going to be able to extend connectivity to other regions of our country. We want to facilitate the access of internet to our children and young people. This is essential for us. And today, in our school system, Chilean children learn how to interact with the new technologies very early in their lives through different programs like links, enlaces, proyecto enlaces that we have through the Ministry of Education. This program has been carried out since 1992, and today 90% of Chilean students has access to internet and the uses of information through this media. At the end of my term, 100% of all students of Chile, either in basic or in high school, will have access to internet and will have a number of computers available so that they can be able to profit from this technology. And what is more important, and this is one of the goals that has been accomplished in this visit here to Silicon Valley, quite a number of those schools are going to be with a software that is going to be made in such a way to make a more profitable use of those computers and the internet connection in our schools. In the second place, we also want to be efficient with our public. New technologies make it possible to have a more transparent and efficient public management in matters like information handling, administrative procedures, and cost reductions. We would like to have more of this kind of technology for the use of government. And I have mentioned before, in Chile, about 22% of all the statements of the income tax are made to the Internal Revenue Service through internet. And the coming year, for the year 2001, the Internal Revenue Service is going to provide, I wonder if that can be called a service, is going to provide a draft report of what every citizen should declare to the Internal Revenue Service as an income tax statement. If he agrees, he will sign. If he doesn't agree, he will prepare a different statement. But represent a tremendous advance to have the Internal Revenue Service preparing to every citizen a report of what should be, according to the reports of the Internal Revenue Service, the income tax statement of every Chilean in Chile. At the same time, we would like to encourage pluralism and free expression of ideas. And in recent months, we have witnessed the emergence of several electronic news media in our country, in addition to the electronic news media of the established traditional papers in Chile. What I'm talking and referring to is new electronic news media that is emerging in Chile, which have rapidly achieved an important space in Chile among the public. And this is a trend that we think is going to produce important results in the area of how Chileans learn about the different news everywhere. Our third goal is how are we going to be able to spread access to science, knowledge, and culture among our people. And we consider that information technologies to be a privileged tool in order to achieve our greatest goal, which is promote science, knowledge, education, culture in Chile. And we think that we are going to have a good utilization of this kind of tools, we are going to be in a position to advance in this direction. Chile was a pioneer in fostering the first university-level internet in the early 80s, where a non-profit organization, REUNA, was an institution that put together 19 universities of Chile and was initially supported by the government, and they were in a position to profit to internet in the country. REUNA very recently has a new agreement, and now the university system is in connection with Internet 2, which is a special program designed to postgraduate students. In other words, it seems to me that it is in this particular area also, in the case of the new economy and the new information and technology, we are in a process to provide to our university system a system that is made possible for them to be in the frontier of knowledge and the access of internet with the speed that is required today. In other words, it seems to me that if in order to reach the three goals, it's going to be necessary from the point of view of my government to work very hard in order to allow room to the business community in order to be able for them to be able to compete in this new world. Our agenda includes in the first place, as a first component, as was recalled by Mr. Ganshaw, the approval of some legal initiative aimed at facilitating internet development in Chile. And this, I think, is extremely important. And it also aims at creating the conditions for entrepreneurs and foreign investors to produce wealth via some of the business ideas that have been object of discussion in this trip. A second one is how are we going to be able to promote the use of wireless internet technologies? Till what extent are we going to be able to have in Chile now, as soon as that technology are efficient, to have access to internet through wireless use of the new technology? And we want to take the advantage of the opportunity that these technologies offer to the spread of the use of internet, particularly in those areas of the country that are quite isolated. And licenses for new networks for wireless access are soon to be granted in Chile, with all the transformation that this means for our country. A third measure will be to promote the outsourcing of information services and procedures for public agencies through different concessions. Via this mechanism, we will seek to enhance the quality of public services without increasing public expenditures. It is here that many projects are being implemented in the field of e-government. Among them is the transfer of our custom services to an internet platform, as well as some other similar contributions in this particular state. In other words, it seems to me that if we do the right things in order to spread this technology, in order to be able to foster the and to give some subsidies to the use of internet and making possible, like what we are doing now in a special program by which 100,000 personal computers are going to be provided for teachers in the high school or for small and medium businessmen in Chile through subsidies given by the government. In other words, we think that we're doing the right things in order to be able to compete in this particular area, and this is the reason why today we are here sharing these views with you. In addition to all that, of course, we would like to emphasize what is, in our view, the major capital of Chile from an economic point of view. That we have strong macroeconomic fundamentals, the house is in order, even though we have the effects of the Asian crisis 2 years ago, now we have our fiscal accounts in order and we are planning to have a fiscal superávit during next year. In addition to that, as you all know, Chile has a very low risk grading by the different agencies, plus political and social stability, which I think is extremely important for a country that also has a tremendous degree of openness of our economy. The fact that we decided to have a free trade agreement with the U.S. is not new. We are trying to have a similar agreement with Europe. We already have similar agreements with Canada and Mexico and with most of Latin American countries. Chile is an open economy. 50% of our gross domestic product, more than 50%, is represented by our export and our imports. Very few countries are as open and depend so much on what's going on abroad. We are a small country, 15 million people, but we decided that our way to have development is to accept the challenges of globalization, to accept the challenges of being able to compete in the world, which is not easy. Of course, it is not easy. The fact that we have 9% tariff flat for everything, and that Chile is committed to have 6% tariff in the year 2003. And on the average, our tariffs are smaller when we take into consideration the free trade agreement that we already have. In other words, here is a country that decided to participate in the challenges of the world economy, in the process of globalization. And this is why we would like to have our foreign relation, primarily from Latin America, where we belong to, and this is what we are pushing Mercosur. At the same time, we believe that this has to be compatible with different trade agreements with different parts of the world, simply because our trade is extremely balanced from a regional point of view. About 29% of our trade is with Europe, another 25% with the U.S. and Canada, a similar 26% with Asia, and the rest with Latin American countries. Therefore, we are in a situation where it is essential trade with different blocks, and this is why we are in a position to become some sort of a global trader in this globalized world. In addition to this free trade, what we have from the point of view of our major macroeconomic variables, we have, I could say, in terms of human capital, which is perhaps our major capital. Chile exhibits the biggest advances in Latin America with regard to human development, and in particular with regard to education. In Chile, the average number of schoolings, years of school, is close to 12 years, which compares very well with Europe and this country. In Chile, we are in a position to have quite a university numbers of university students and high-skilled workforce, as well as the professional, technical, and the blue-collar level. Human capital is probably, together with what we have been able to build in the area of infrastructure for the new technologies, our major capital when we are thinking in terms of the new economy. And in addition, I would like to add that we have a modern business community that is adapting very rapidly to the new era. E-business is now a reality in Chile, and this is the reason why we think that we are well prepared to be a launching pad for many American firms that would like to make business in other Latin American countries. And it is in this regard that we have, of course, a special investment promotion program in order to induce some of the foreign firms to establish in Chile, and we are trying also to implement some particular areas for information technology in some particular geographical locations in Chile if we want to have some critical mass in this particular area. This openness, together with the high education standards, that we think that we are well prepared for what we will have in this century. And this is the reason why we arrive here to this valley with quite a number of Chilean businessmen to have a contact with all of you here, to express and to tell you that here we are from a small country that would like to do the things in the right way. We consider ourselves, to some extent, rather serious people, and we think that we are serious also as partners in the area of business. Anyhow, my role as president of Chile is to be able to do what we have to do from the public sector. But I'm sure that the business members, community that are here with me, will have very good opportunities and very good endeavors in order to be able to have joint ventures with all of you here in Silicon Valley. I would like to thank for this opportunity to address to you and to thank to the Commonwealth Club for this opportunity to share with all of you our views about what is the future of Chile, the new technology, and last but not least, the announcement that I made with regard to the free trade. Thank you.
Thank you, President Lagos, for sharing your thoughts with us today. And now we have many, many questions from the audience. And perhaps you would go to the other podium and to the microphone, if you don't mind. And we'll start with the questions. Of course, you've already addressed and taken away the first question, which was, what about the free trade agreement? So I think you've already answered that. But I'll continue on by asking you, on behalf of a member of the audience, what have been other accomplishments of your trip to the U.S.? Is there anything else that you would like to highlight?
Well, I think that probably the major item had been the chances and opportunity to talk with quite a number of business people here, one of the major firms of Silicon Valley, and my delegation probably are the ones that are entitled to produce the news. I'm supposed to produce the stage, but they are the major actors, so I would like to hear something from them rather than from the president.
There are a number of questions about other trade agreements and some international agreements. For instance, about the WTO, which has a free trade agreement for the high-tech sector, which has been signed by all the leading high-tech countries, but none in South America. Would Chile consider signing this information technology agreement as a complement to the U.S.-Chile free trade deal?
Well, I think that in the case of the new round, it's essential first to agree in what agenda are we going to have. The agenda is going to be only about trade, or the agenda is going to include some other non-trade issues like labor, environment, anti-dumping laws, etc. Second, what kind of negotiations are we going to have? Are we going to have a negotiation where every country is going to produce, but not any single issue is going to be settled till all the issues are settled? Is the idea of the single undertaking, or are we going to take the idea of the early harvest? Whenever we have an agreement in a particular area, we sign the agreement and that's it. This is probably what produced the not very successful, if you allow me to say that, results in Seattle, where there was no clarification about the agenda, and there was no clarification also in what way are we going to be able to advance. And therefore, it's my impression, all of us are in favor of a multilateral free trade agreement, and this is the new round. I was very recently in the APEC meeting in Brunei, and what emerged there was that many countries that in the past didn't want to sign free trade agreement now are thinking that because the new round will take longer, they are in a position to say, well, better we have some particular free trade agreement. In the case of Chile, we were approached by New Zealand and Singapore in order to have our own free trade agreement among the three different countries, or in some sectors. For instance, the Open Skies Agreement that was signed with Singapore, New Zealand, United States, Chile, and some other country. And the idea is simply that in that particular sector, if it is possible to advance. Now, with regard to the specific questions, we would like to see what is the meaning of this high technology treatment, because there are some provisions that from our point of view still have to be implemented in a different way. But anyhow, we realize that it's essential also in the area of the new technology to be very precise, particular in creation and defending the property rights.
And one more question about international agreements. Chile and Mexico are partners through a free trade agreement. How could this relationship be affected if Mexico or Chile became members of Mercosur?
Well, the question, I would say, is very simple. Mercosur countries would like to have also free trade agreements, and they are commitment to lower tariff. If you consider Mercosur only as a custom union, and therefore Mercosur is only a question about tariff, I think that that's one thing. Nevertheless, we think that Mercosur should be a little bit more than that. First, it is essential, if we're going to have an agreement in Mercosur countries, to have some kind of macroeconomic convergence between different countries, something like a small Maastricht for the Latin American countries. What is the meaning, or what is the sense of having similar tariff, but one country has to devaluate 50%, 60%, or 70%? what happened with trade after that. This is not possible if you have some kind of macroeconomic convergence. Second, how are we going to be able to solve the different disputes that emerge in an agreement like this? In other words, it is essential in Mercosur to have some kind of institutions in order to solve the disputes among different countries, and not what we have today, the president talking on the phone. It's nice to talk on the phone, but not to solve this kind of agreement every day. So we have presented these two major items. We would like to be members, but we would like first to clarify these two issues. Three, I think that Mercosur is more than a customs union in a sense that there has been discussion if it is possible to use some kind of joint efforts in the area of education or in the area of labor legislation between different countries or physical integration. In other words, in all those areas, we can have some kind of education or labor or physical integration among our own countries, which is much more than Mercosur. In other words, I don't think that it's fair to compare Mercosur as an agreement between different countries that is economic, political, social, cultural agreement, in addition to reducing tariff. Now, it is essential to reduce tariff, but in the meanwhile, I have to say, I think that every country has an autonomy in trade matters like the one that we are expressing today when we decided to go ahead with the U.S.
As you can imagine, there are many specific questions about your economic development plans. And one is, what specific incentives is your government planning to give to those companies in the technological area that come to Chile? And another person suggests, perhaps could you think of taking away the income tax burden for foreign investment in order to foster venture capital's growth in Chile?
Well, in the particular case of Chile, there is no distinction between Chileans and foreigners in the area of investment. Therefore, the definition that we have is very clear in that connection. Now, with regard to the first question, if it is possible to grant some special conditions from the point of view of in the area of technology, we are exploring that simply because up to now, if you apply the law as it is not possible to make a distinction between giving some particular preferences to the foreign vis-a-vis the domestic one, investment. Nevertheless, in the area of technology, there are some areas where it's possible to do things like that. But it seems to me that the major advantage of Chile are those general conditions that we have as a country. And with regard to the income tax, there has been some discussion in that in Chile, but I think it will go beyond this talk to go into that area.
Another person wonders what you think would be a better bet for for Chile's technological development, information technology, biotechnology, or both?
Well, I don't think that I'm well prepared to make a definition. That there has been a lot of discussion in the area of biotechnology, particularly because of one of our universities that are very good in that particular area. And therefore, to use the capital that is represented by those universities plus what can be accomplished in the area of biotechnology may be a very good. Nevertheless, I would say it's more for the business community to make a decision rather than the president to say, I think this or the other one. I think that you are the ones that are going to make the definition. I mean, if you go to New Zealand, everybody will say, well, you have the biotechnology there, look at what they are doing. That's fine with me. If we can do that, excellent. But there has been some specific talk about one of our universities located in the southern part of Chile, Universidad Austral, that had a very good university system, and probably they are in a better position to evaluate with some members of the business community. Where I do agree that there is a role to be played by the government is to what extent is possible to provide a public policy that may possible to have a joint endeavors between the university and the business community. Here in the States, this is normal. Until what extent you have Silicon Valley here because you have the university that you have here. You have Stanford, Berkeley, etc. And this is something that probably in my country, it doesn't happen as often as it happened in the States. to go from the academia to the business community and to do research either in the university or in the firm, in the private firm, is normal. And in Chile, I guess, probably it's going to be necessary to induce much more of that joint endeavors.
A question about old industries. Will the government also develop a program to aid and assist such old technology as railroads?
Well, I would say that the answer with regard to the, I wonder if there are old technologies. All what I would say is that normally those technologies are up to date when you introduce the new technology, which is possible in the area of railroad and some others. We were having a discussion yesterday about what is the meaning in the area of health or what is the meaning in the area of transport and use the new information technology available in order to have a much more efficient port or much more efficient hospitals. And therefore, it's difficult to say what is really new and what is really old with regard to this kind of technologies, because this is technology that can be applied to very old activities. And probably those activities are going to increase in efficiency and is going to increase in productivity. And therefore, the question is, how are we going to be able to induce those things in that particular area? Now, with regard to the railroads, yes, there has been some programs in Chile in order, in some particular areas of the country, to be able to reintroduce the railroad, particularly railroads in suburban areas, in order to use as a public transport. Yes.
How do you see the Chilean financial services helping IT development in Chile? Will AFPs be allowed or encouraged to fund startups?
Well, I think that there has been some discussion in this particular area in two major. First, as I say, there has been a decision by the superintendent of banking in order to allow banks in Chile to have back office and some activities out of the country. And this is the reason why we are also trying to induce that some of these activities are located in Chile and to serve from Chile to the rest of the other Latin American countries. And in some members of the banking community, we have succeeded. The other point has to do with venture capital and to what extent we are in a position we have been able to reform some of our laws in banking connection in order to allow to have a risk capital in a much better way that we used to have in the past. In that thing, I would say we have accomplished some changes in our regulations, and now we are in a better position to allow the banking facilities to provide this kind of risk capital. Yes.
What are the new programs in place to make a concrete difference in the ability of enterprises to get started in Chile?
Well, I don't think that there are many special facilities for enterprises to get started in Chile. All what I'm trying to say is, look, we have a very similar program, and all of them are in equal footing, and therefore I wouldn't say that the new ones will have a better situation or better facility with regard to the old ones. All what we're trying to do is to establish the kind of facilities for everybody similar, and then they see how they can compete. Now, it's a different story if Chile, because established rules in favor of competition, is much cheaper to call from Chile to the U.S. than from the U.S. to Chile. And it's much cheaper, probably, to have in terms of energy cost vis-a-vis some other countries. It's going to be possible, I hope, that once that the new regulation is established, not only in terms of technologies of communication, but also in terms of energy. It's going to be possible for an hotel like this one to decide that where it's going to buy electricity and what company. And therefore, you can make a bid for that. In other words, you are going to introduce more competition. Somebody has told me that it's too much competition for a small country like Chile in the area, for instance, of electricity. And I think that this is good. In other words, what offered Chile, probably, is that because of our economic system, we may have a smaller cost compared with some other Latin American or some other countries. That's all.
I'm going to take the liberty to translate in the best fashion I can the questions that came in Spanish. And I hope you don't mind that we conduct this in English. But translating, unfortunately, would take away time from the number of questions that we can ask the president. There are a couple of questions on the issue of equitability. Do you see it as contradictory to be a socialist and to be promoting a free market economy? And then someone else asks, what will you do to attempt to distribute equitably the proceeds from this economic growth?
Well, let me say two things. First, it's one thing I do believe to say that the market mechanism allocates resources very well. Now, the question is that market mechanism allocates resources very well for those that can afford to buy. The question is, are we going to have a society that is formed according only to market mechanism? I don't think so. I think that every society, while it's having more and more progress, every society is decided what kind of services will have to be available for all citizens in that society, no matter if they can pay for that or not. This is the difference. In the early years of the 20th century, there was a long discussion in Chile. During 20 years, what was the discussion about? Should we have compulsory education for everybody? Nobody would think that today is going to be a discussion on that. But it was a discussion from the 1900 to the 1920. And finally, the decision was that Chile should have compulsory education for everybody till the fourth grade. Later on, the decision was till the sixth grade and then till the eighth grade. Why you decided to have increasing number of years? This is simply because the country realized that 4 years of compulsory education was too small if you're going to prepare kids for what are going to be required in the rest of their life. And the same, and this is the reason why today we are imposing 12 years of average schooling for everybody. And this is the reason why we are introducing a particular program in order to retain high school kids in high school and not to have the dropouts, which is the biggest problem that we have. And in many cases, we have dropouts because of economic consideration. And therefore, we are in a position to define a program to give scholarship for those potential dropouts in order to remain in school. But this is a decision that is taken for society to say, look, we want to have at least 12 years of school for everybody. And we are going to provide no matter what is the money that they have. In other words, we will not accept, this is a decision of society, that the market will say who can afford education. Only those that can pay for that. And I don't believe that if you give everybody the same amount to buy education, that is equal opportunity. Because those that have a little bit more, once they receive the money, they will put some additional money from the pocket and they will have more money to buy better education. In other words, I say, look, equal opportunity in education means discrimination. You have to give more to those areas of the country where you have less if you want to have equal opportunity. But this is simply a question saying, look, we don't believe that in this particular area the market mechanism will work. And what about health? What about health? I have been told that in this country, in the price of a car, about $1,200 is represented by the cost of health. And I have been told that in Europe it's only $300. I wonder if the figures are correct. But the question is that this country devotes to health a much bigger proportion of their income than the European ones. And the question is a question of money or who has a better health system? This is something for the Americans to decide. All I'm trying to say is this, look, in the area of health, I do believe that public policies means to be independent from the market. which is not to accept that you can introduce a market mechanism to allocate some resources in health, which is a different story. In other words, it's my point of view that you may have a market economy, but I do not want to have a market society. I don't want that society is going to be structured according to the lines of the market, because by definition, the market is uneven. And there are some areas of our society where we would like to be able to provide opportunities for everybody. After all, this is the end of a democratic system, not only to elect our officials, but in addition to that, are we going to have equal opportunities? And I do think sincerely that when we put a lot of emphasis on education, this is simply because I think that what will happen in the near future will depend of how is the access to education. Let me end this question with just an example. All kids in Chile, as in any other country, are equal till the age of 18 years old, 18 months. After 18 months, that will depend, and you will differentiate the kids if they go to kindergarten or to some other infant school, and the kind of motivations of knowledge that they will learn when they have 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years old are going to be quite different. And when they go for the first grade, 6 years old, you already have a tremendous differentiation if those kids have or have not a previous experience in those pre-basic schools. In other words, if you don't have 100% coverage in pre-basic school, you are making a differentiation in Chile. Now, it's true, in addition to the schooling, that we have a problem with equity. It's true that the distribution of income is uneven in Chile, and is uneven by Latin American standards. And we all know that distribution of income in Latin America is uneven by international standards. And this is a reality that we have. And therefore, the question of equity is essential. And the major differences, I would say, in political interpretation with regard to the country has to deal how everybody is in favor of more equity, of course. The question is how. And this, I think, is where there are some political differences that are normal in any country. But the question, I would say, is how are we going to be able to tackle those inequities? How are we going to have a more equitable society and at the same time not to put in jeopardy the kind of investment that you need in order to have growth? But what we have learned is that unless we have growth, you are not going to solve in the long run the problems of a very inequitable society. Growth is essential. Growth alone is not, from my point of view, is not the only solution. We need more than that. But this is the reason why I think that public policies exist. Otherwise, the reason why we are in public life is simply because we think that we can have a better world if we try harder. And this is the reason why I'm here this afternoon. Thank you.
Mr. President, we're getting down to our last questions here, and I hate to switch gears on you, but back to the international environment once again. You mentioned the Asian economic crisis. How can countries like Chile protect their development plans and policies from cycles in international financial and capital markets?
Oh, I wish I had the answer. Nevertheless, let me put this way. I think that if you have the major macroeconomic variables in order, you are going to be in a better shape to be able to answer to that. Of course, assuming that you derive fine-tuning once at the moment, if you're going to increase your rate of interest, if you're going to shrink your fiscal expenditures. But what I do think is essential is to have the economic accounts, national accounts in order. Needless to say, you have a tremendous foreign debt, probably you're going to be in a much more difficult situation rather than if you are foreign debt is within appropriate limits. And this, I think, is one of the reasons in many Latin American countries where I would say that probably because of the crisis arrived at the wrong moment. But if you have a lot of considerations, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, nobody thought that we were going to have the kind of price of oil that we have today, or nobody thought what is going to happen with some other commodities. Nevertheless, I think that the only way is to have a good management of the economy in order not to prevent, but at least to be able to resist in a better way what may be the turbulences of the international economy.
This is our last question, and the writer of this question has in parentheses after it, "I'm serious," and it is, do you know how many cell phone users there are in Chile?
How many?
Cell phone users, cell phone, cellular telephone.
Oh. I guess it's about almost 3 million? 3 million. 3 million for a country of 15 million people.
That's probably ahead of the U.S. in proportional terms. I'd like to extend all of our thanks to the President of Chile, President Lagos, for those wonderful remarks. I'd also like to ask everyone to stay seated until the President has had time to depart. So on behalf of the Commonwealth Club, many thanks, President Lagos.
Thanks to you. Thank you.
I hope you all enjoyed today's program of the Commonwealth Club Silicon Valley. Again, our thanks to President Lagos, the American Electronics Association, the Pan American Society, the Business Incubator, and all of our other co-sponsors. And now, this meeting of the Commonwealth Club Silicon Valley is adjourned.